Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission, and this time we have got one hell of a full house tonight.
Can't move elbows!
Usually we've been playing around with about three or four people, yours truly included, but this time we have a wonderful six people in the peanut gallery with us tonight.
Oh, yes.
And Lord, it's going to get real, real cramped, so... But that's half the fun of it, you know? If it blows up in our face, I can always blame you guys.
I call the couch shotgun.
Super shotgun. I get couch. Oh.
Jumping with us in our little love bug trip across the desert, we have Alfonso from rival slash companion show Doom Radio, taking his break from his incredibly busy schedule in order to deign us in our den of sinners and thieves.
Yeah, infiltrated once again. Hopefully this time, a successful infiltration last time was a bit of a debacle, to be honest. Actually, no, the only reason I'm here is to remind you that you're responsible, as a member of Doom Radio family, to plug my shows every now and then. And now I'm off. Thanks, guys. See you later. And
Alfonso, and, don't you go. I've got your chain right here. I've got your leash. Also joining us after a long delay is Cardboard Marty Razor Kyra, Punished Fallen Savior.
Oh, hi.
Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, you can call me any one of those, but I probably will only respond to Marty, because if you call me Cardboard, I probably won't say anything, because I don't know who you're talking to me. But hi, what's up, dudes?
It's good to see you back here, Razor.
Thanks. All
right. As usual, we have Kenzie, who has literally just arrived, and so shook up the group a little bit. He almost broke his record as being the only one other than me to make every single episode so far.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Joining us tonight also is Wartorn, or also known as Warren Spectorn, no relation to Warren Spector.
Yeah, Warren Spector is telling.
Oh, first roast of the evening. Excellent.
First blood.
Well, you're not wrong, but still.
Right. And finally, returning from last time, after popular demand, Zazer, the lovable maniac that everybody knows.
Insert evil laughter here.
Yes, indeed. Boy, we've got a full house, and we have a whole bunch of news to get through, so let's just jump straight in and start from the top, shall we?
Right.
Right.
Very first topic, everyone is familiar with GZ Doom, at least everyone present, I'm assuming, and one thing that has been quite common in the community lately is people trying to make quote-unquote full games out of the engine. I mean, there's been, you know, Adventures of Square, has been, I'm working on right now, Crimson Tides, or Cosmic Tides. Jeez, I can't even remember the name of my
good,
own game.
Good, good one.
The Booty Project. It's booty. It's booty forever.
Yeah, that's all people are going to remember it for.
I tried to make one at one point, and that failed.
There's also the recently announced Call of Abdulov, which has been released to glowing approval and praise from everyone involved. But unfortunately, it is the end of an era as GZ Doom GPL, the last GPL compatible engine for GZ Doom, is being discontinued.
That's sad. That's ultra sad.
The reason it's discontinuing is a good one, though. It's in that GZ Doom itself is working to become GPL compatible, so there won't really be much of a point.
Mm-hmm. That's not to say it's going to be an easy thing, though. I mean, it's not like it was canceled today and it's going to be GPL compatible tomorrow. There's still quite a few hurdles, mostly one that is FMOD-shaped.
Well, there's OpenAL.
OpenAL is not very cooperative with MIDIs, unfortunately. MIDIs are kind of a bitch as a whole to work with, but boy, do they sound good.
Old school.
Gotta love that GS guitar synth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Gunshot noise, steel drums, and bird tweets.
Orchestra hit is my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, the ladies.
Don't even
love
talk to me
hit.
If your favorite isn't bagpipes.
Jimmy's actually been in the MIDI scene for so long that he's started constructing entire songs using instruments that only begin with a single letter. So I imagine he likes the ocarina and the orchestral hits all in one track. It's great.
Pick the X song. Mm-hmm. Xylophones and nothing else.
That's actually quite possible. You'd basically make a ringtone.
Well, there is the steel drums version of Pearl Jam, if anyone's heard that.
We're going to do a xylophone-only cover of Canyon.mid.
I'm psyched. I want to hear all of this. I'm going to play it 5 times. I'm going to buy more computers so I can run.
You're going to make it, Zazer.
I didn't sign up for that. Right.
Personally, I'm just looking forward to them adding support for Mario Paint music.
That program was actually discontinued by Nintendo, so they had to move on.
Yeah.
Sad day.
Mm-hmm. Next up is, this is actually a very, very old piece of news, but we've only managed to just cover it now because we kind of forgot last time, but Kaiser has kind of staked out a niche in the community as taking really old games and giving them fancy new source board, a lot of love, lots of new features, and Turok 2 is the latest one in that list. Turok 2, The Seeds of Evil, now on Steam.
And it's a really, really good update.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you've never played the game, play it. If you've already played the game before, play it again. It's really, really good.
It's a lot better now. They've actually smoothed out a lot of the things in the old game that were really, well, shit.
And but they're still trying to smooth out a lot of things as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should probably get those guys onto this at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I think probably my favorite part of the pedigree behind it, I mean, Kaiser has long, long demonstrated his ability, such as he's worked with Doom 64. He made the Power Slave, Z Power Slave, Exhumed, that new fancy source port, and it was unfortunately taken down. And next up, I'm not going to spoil it, considering it's, you know, technically under wraps, even though everyone knows what it is at this point. But the next project he has been tackling with a bloody pleasure.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Good. Good one. Good.
But I think probably the best part about the Turok 2 source port is one of the devs that has worked on it. He has possibly the greatest thing to put on his resume. He was the one in charge of Zedoom Netplay.
Well, when you have resumes like that, you pretty much never stop getting calls for jobs.
Hi, Edward. Are you busy right now? You are? Ack.
But yeah, good job, Kaiser, Quasar, and Edward on getting Turok 2 out. It is a great update.
Fantastic update. Really looking forward to the next one. It's going to be very interesting. Hopefully, hopefully Night Dive will be a little more forgiving towards your legal issues in the future.
Your extracurricular activities.
All right, next up is we have some competition, technically. Vaguely. Hmm. I mean, not exactly. Competition is a very big thing in the podcast. I mean, of course, people can listen to podcasts. We're not exactly trying any rivalries here. But Evolution of the WoD, a podcast done by actual mappers and people who actually know what they're doing.
Wow.
The very first episode was recorded by Alfonso here today, Captain Clever, Dew, Entrop, Rotking, Tarnsman, and it was a show describing the history, legacy, and content of Doom mappers, their standout styles and themes. Their very first episode covered Sandy Peterson. And I have to be completely honest, my favorite part was where discussion shifted to testicular torsion.
Sorry, you want to repeat that?
Fonz, would you like to give a little input on that as to why you started discussing Sandy Peterson's balls?
No. I think that... It's telling, though, that you find that the most interesting part.
Well, let's be honest. Sandy is long known for his eccentricities in mapping.
Well, his fashion sense is something to be... I've seen a few of his interviews he's conducted over YouTube. The first thing that strikes me is his attire. He's always wearing that bow tie and colorful polka dots or whatever happens. But no, this is actually the second series in the Enterprise. It's something that Dime kicked off. And I joked back then that because we were working chronologically through the years, we started obviously in 1993, 94, and my concern was that Dime would be slow enough that the WADs would evolve faster than his broadcasts, and so it turned out that that he was actually behind the times. The WAD was evolving faster, but Captain Clever decided to reinvigorate the project, and it's worked out pretty well so far. I mean, just for the one episode, but I'm surprised with the immediate feedback being so great. Yeah, look forward to the next. I think we're doing Plutonia next, something like that, or we're going to slag off Dead Simple remakes or something.
You should have one of those episodes where it's like, this episode, we're talking about Dead Simple remakes. Fuck Dead Simple remakes, end of episode. Like, if you release this 8 days ago, that would be perfect, but yeah.
Well, we did think that because we were concerned that there might not be enough material for what was previous. I think it was like 3 hours we talked about Stanley. I was amazed we could do it for that long. That plus Icon of Sin remakes and stuff, and that's because people get sick and tired of those. But in order to properly communicate the torture of playing through Dead Simple stuff, we would just play through Dead Simple stuff for those 3 hours and feel the example. Misery just like we do. It'd be great.
You should do Z-Doom based. A good Z-Doom based map should be in and done in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, like knee deep in
Z-Doom. Oh,
that is mean. Talking about the stigma that surrounds Z-Doom mapping and how that came about would be an interesting episode, I think. Yeah.
You'd have your entire case in knee-deep in Z-Doom, as said, because it actively demonstrates the power of the engine, at least at the point it was made, as well as where the stigma came from through that utterly abysmal level design.
Did it actually come from there, though, or was it, people were predisposed to think that way about it before it was even released? They had their doubts. That's just the impression I got. I wasn't around at the time, but
I'd say it's more a product of its time when Z-Doom mapping was starting to come in full swing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely solidified the Z-Doom-isms, I feel like, at the time it was released, for sure.
Yeah. As someone who is, like, 100% Z-Doom supportive, absolutely love Z-Doom, G-Z-Doom, all its derivatives, no interest in Chocolate Doom and Boom, fuck knee-deep in Z-Doom.
I'm gonna go on record here and say that knee-deep in Z-Doom, it does have a lot of good qualities in some ways, but a lot of it does need to be dialed down a bit.
Mm-hmm. It looks nice, but it has more issues than Time Magazine.
Well,
that's like my new favorite quote. Like, I'm stealing that forever.
Honestly, that's kind of like Tormentor's style as a whole. I mean, the stuff that he makes looks incredibly beautiful. The presentation is amazing. And it's the stuff you'd show off to someone just make them gasp and go, cool!
And then you play it.
Well, I found it really interesting that of all the Z-Doom-based projects that, because a lot of them fail on Doomworld in particular. I mean, there's a total conversion recently for Vanilla called Wrecker.
Oh yeah,
which is probably in something like 1/50th the time managed to rack up half the number of replies as something like Adventures of Square did in, you know, over 2 years of that thread being up. Mm-hmm. But at the time, knee-deep in Z-Doom attracted so much attention. I wonder how much of that is to do with just the idea of what it was for Z-Doom, or whether that was just Tormentor being, you know, just some sort of awesome cross-platform diplomat, or maybe there are other reasons, potentially personality, that became such a big issue. But I find it interesting, really, that it's so difficult to penetrate that Doom World market and get people interested in stuff. And there hasn't really been anything like knee-deep in Z-Doom since, like, 2007-8 that's been on quite that scale.
Mm-hmm. Z-Doom maps are, unfortunately, quite a huge rarity.
One thing that's kind of interesting in retrospect is between the dev time and kind of the end product and how people feel about it in retrospect, Knee Deep in Z-Doom is kind of the Duke Nukem Forever, the Doom community. There you go. Probably not the first person to make that observation, but sitting here thinking about it.
Well, I'm looking forward to Blade of Agony, Knee Deep in Z-Doom's world tour.
Going back hastily to Sandy Peterson, he's actually not too far away from Tormentor in that he kind of gets a bad rap for a lot of the questionable decisions behind the WADs of choice. And sometimes it's a little bit unfair, because I think it's safe to say without him, Doom 2 simply would not exist, right?
I think that is correct to say. I think it's like we said, I think the conclusion we came to was that he was a modern mapper before we had modern mappers, because he was really good at reconstituting ideas that were purposed for one thing, and then he'd take, like, barrels, for example. I'm pretty sure Romero would have recommended them to Carmack as something just to help jib monsters, because that's cool in action. You know, there's that clip of him in id Software showing his girlfriend at the time, or someone else in the office, you know, how cool it would be to jib a zombie, and he'd go off his head, and it was quite scary, actually. He was quite psychotic. but Sandy takes that idea, and he does his own thing with it, and that approach really defines Doom to him. People identify more with Romero, and this is a point that Tarnsman, in particular, on that episode, pushed. When in practice, they exhibit a lot more of Sandy's styles than they realize, because he was a pioneer in this area. And I disputed that at first, but I kind of see what he's talking about. And like in Chasm, you have those console switches that have worked their way into P-Worlds a lot these days. So it's interesting to see what people say versus what people actually put into practice. That said, no one seems to like Doom 2 as much as Doom 1 in the public sphere. I mean, in Doom World, yes, but I think if you ask the wider Doom community, they all seem to harp on about Doom 1. But I think Doom 2 is really the heart and soul of explorative mapping of the sort that Sandy really brought to the fore. It's great.
I like Doom 2. I'd say, honestly, Episode 4 of Doom 1 is probably my favorite.
Yeah, Episode 4 is great. Great, 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 great.
It showed that they all collectively just learned their lessons from previous projects, and it just really paid off an explosively great episode, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of maps, Lingica has cemented his position even further as the final boss of Doomworld, and he has made history by making a new map without actually making a map at all.
This is amazing. I mean, this guy... I wonder how much of what he does is just... so tongue-in-cheek. He's like subverting expectations, and obviously he has unparalleled understanding of the inner workings of the game, and there's no way that he would have created the Doom movement Bible otherwise. But he's so tongue-in-cheek. I don't know, I maybe it's just part of how long he's been in the community, and it's like all you millennials with your fascination with the Doom World Megawatt clubs and all that shit, and I wonder how many drag and drop people would have just taken the file, dropped it over the source port of choice, seen that it just doesn't work, and then put it in the bin. I imagine there would have been a couple. So there he is, just laughing at everyone.
What do I do with a .dsg?
Yeah, a little bit of an explanation for people who are completely unaware of this discussion. Okay, let's talk technical for a little bit. A lot of maps for Dooms come in WAD format because, you know, where's all the data? Carmack set up the WAD format so that it could hold data externally, and thus when it's loaded into Doom, it reads that file, sets up the game according to all of the data inside that file, and the players run around and place it. Lingica has made a map that does not involve a WAD file at all. He has done what is called Entryway, a small vanilla level, and instead, it is a save file.
Just that concept alone just really sells me on it. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, see, the way it works is that when Doom saves a game, it doesn't take a snapshot of what's going on and then tuck it in for later. What it does is it takes a record of every single entity, line def, and actor that is currently in the map at that position and stores it away in a file so that it can just instantly reconstructed at a moment's notice. By taking the save file and editing it, what Lingica has done is it loads up the level wrong. And in doing this, it creates a completely new level. It's just...
yeah, that's something else.
I like this ongoing thing of mad science with the engine.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested to know what the limitations of this is, because in the post he says that this can only be executed using a vanilla exclusive source port like.
Well, it probably has to do with the fact that various source ports tend to change the way it serializes save games and such.
Right.
The formats, like in the case of ZDoom, it's a more of a text-based format now, or JSON. I don't quite recall offhand.
Yeah, JSON.
But it's massively different from what you'd expect from a vanilla-capable engine. So say format is completely different.
So what's really cool to me about this is that this and Ling's previous, like, holy shit, how did you do this in the engine thing, the Lingordles, which was his node builder hack, sausage portals that allowed you to see into basically different areas of the map magically, again, vanilla only. It's amazing the technical prowess you need in order to figure this kind of stuff out in the first place, because most people, in fact, like, this is where you can start saying, like, 99.99, insert a bunch of digits here, percent of Doomers don't understand how the nodes format works or how the save formats works. Mm. And so Ling is able to go in and twiddle with this particular piece of data to make something that, like, nobody else will be able to figure it out, because no one's looking at this kind of thing. And it's really cool. Like, even though it's sort of a limited proof of concept, it's not like you're going to make a whole megawatt of this, unless we do. It's just one of those really friggin' awesome technical achievements that, A, is kind of a capstone of here's all the cool shit that you can do when you know how the engine works, and B, is kind of sort of like a, screw you guys, I found something new that nobody's ever done before. Bam.
So. Either way, it's very entertaining to see what comes out from him.
Yeah, it's really cool.
This whole thing actually reminds me of something that happened a couple of Christmases back, where someone made a Quake map in a hacked save. Like, it was the same level geometry, but all the scripting had been changed. So it was this little mini level set in, like, one area, like one room of one of the pre-existing id 1 maps. So you'd be grabbing items and fighting monsters in this sort of script based on, like, the 12 Days of Christmas, loosely. It's pretty cool.
Doom ROM hacking.
Now, have any of us actually played the level?
I have.
Yes. Yeah.
What's it like?
Unbalanced, but I mean that's not really the selling point of it. So I'd be quite happy for it to play which way it does.
It was kind of like a nostalgia.
No. Well, I was just going to say it has a spider demon hemmed in by tech pillars, if that means anything.
That's usually a sign of quality.
So it was kind of like a nostalgia punch to the face, because in the super early days of tinkering with WADs, I remember not knowing how to actually properly edit level geometry. So one thing I would do is just take IWOD levels and just, like, rearrange all the things
and
just screw with the floor heights and all this kind of stuff. And that's exactly what this map is. You start off in this little canyony area and you're like, oh, what's going on? And assuming you don't look at the auto map, at some point, like a little bit way through it, it hits you what the hell you're looking at. And you're like, oh shit, this is not entryway, but it is. It's entryway. Anyway, it was really cool because I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I used to do when I was a kid. I remember playing maps of other people that did that. It was kind of sort of this little blast from the past where that kind of stuff was neat before we got older and realized, oh, that's so lame. Let's make real maps. So, right. but kind of the medium of what it was doing kind of gives it sort of slightly more legitimacy than people just lol first map. But it's cool because it kind of uncovered something I hadn't really felt in forever. Maybe it was just because I wasn't expecting it, and, like, the surprise was like, yay, but...
It's like it's come full circle, right?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, that's it. I should quit Doom. There you go. That's
No, quit no. You can't quit Doom. You actually make good maps.
My job there is done. Time to get back to sheep farming.
Then, next up... Aeons of Death. It is the ultimate weapon monster randomizer mod. It is taken sources from everywhere, really. You can see all sorts of weapons taken from Heretic, from Hexen, from Rise of the Triad, from Painkiller, to Team Fortress 2, of all places. It recently just got another release, and it has been ported to ZScript, and it just raises the old question. How many weapons is too many weapons?
I thought it was raising a different question. Why?
there's nothing wrong with the monster randomizer wads, to a point.
I think it's really interesting. Because there's clearly, I won't say a market, but there's clearly an audience for that kind of thing, where it's like, ah, cool, it's like I got weapons from a different thing, and they're in the thing I mostly play, so that's cool. And there's, like, it's a weird disparity between, like, oh, yeah, it's, like, you know, there's clearly some effort involved in doing it, but also, from the outside, it would appear, like, no, I don't know, this doesn't really seem like a lot of effort, because it's not all 100% original. So Aeons of Death is really weird in that aspect, and it's always been weird to me to think about it, because I'm like, yeah, I don't like it, but, I mean, good job.
I hadn't considered even for a moment that there were still people that thought of it as a go-to playable experience, something they loaded up. I mean, I know, I can't remember when it was awarded the worst water. That was some time ago, but I remember within the community it was understood, and it was the content was in the article, you know, it's just inherently not playable. But then there was backlash from elsewhere in the community outside of Doomworld that said, yeah, but it's a coding masterstroke or something to that effect, and that's really the inherent value in it. So yeah, I would have assumed that all talk about it being something that's playable would have died out by now, and now all that it is just this coding base for people to collaborate on, so a collaboration project like that. Am I wrong?
Honestly, that's pretty much the fascination to the project for me, because as far as stuff goes, it is the stuffiest of stuff. It is a Trojan horse. It's all done very well. When you look under the hood and you look at the code, it's all neat, it's all advanced, it all does all sorts of crazy things that I never thought possible. But at the same time, you look at the surface and it's still stuff. You have 20 weapons in your inventory at any given time, and you turn the corner and there is nothing that could be expected, because every single enemy has at least 20 different replacements, and very few of them actually complement each other in terms of gameplay. And so it's, I love it and I hate it. I love it and I hate it. And DB Thanatos actually got kind of upset with me when I wrote about Aeons of Death in the Doom 4 Doom article, and I'd imagine that's kind of a sore point for him.
So when you're talking about how neat the coding is, do you mean more in the sense of like how you can fold space and time into a fourth dimension? Because it's a marvel of how you can crush so much stuff into one release and still have it all be coherent.
Well, more that it's actually readable. Like, you can actually read it and understand how this happened, how they made it
work.
That's
a low bar.
No, considering the Doom community, no, it really is not.
I mean, we definitely got to give it its credit. I mean, for, I don't want to say it's like the first like hella randomizer mod ever, but just to that degree and scale, pretty crazy. And then, you know, with ZScript being a relatively new coding language, like, that's a huge undertaking, and you would imagine that would take, geez, like years. I don't know. Somebody had a lot of free time to do that. So just even just going from, you know, whatever source game you're converting your monster weapon, whatever, to your lamppost to decorate, and then now doing that in ZScript, it's crazy. It's too super crazy. So I would say infinite props for that. But it really seems to me that it's been more of like the, like, yeah, we can do this, rather than like, I can't wait to play. Like, let's play through Plutonia 2 with the Aeons of Death. That sounds like fun. Like, no, nobody, I don't feel like anybody really does that, but hey, I could be wrong. I don't know.
I have to say I agree with Marty with the whole technical aspect involved with converting the whole project to ZScript. It seems like that would be a decent basis for a learning resource, like, absolutely, for ZScript.
And that's really what Aeons of Death has really hung its hat on. Basically just all this technical work to get all these different characters from different games into the engine. Gameplay-wise, it is a turducken of shit. It's interesting, like, grabbing people's attention and sort of creating this weird experience where pretty much you can't trust anything, because, like, that shotgun guy down the hall is probably going to be some semi-invulnerable Rise of the Triad boss or something. But it's also not on the level of, what was it, the Cool Doom mod that Term did a video of, that occasionally replaced med kits with the Death Star.
That sounds like a great mod. What are you talking about?
I'll say for sure, though, I mean, I haven't personally taken a look at the latest update, but I feel like Especially, I mean, just I haven't really delved into ZScript myself, but I've been definitely aware of all the frustrations that come with it. So I think having something like Aeons of Death that uses material that, I mean, you're like, see a dude from a different game, you know how he should act, so seeing that in ZScript, you're like, oh, I get it now. I think it could be really valuable learning material for people trying to get into that, and hey, you know, that's always cool. Like, learning's fun.
Mm-hmm. And if there's one thing, I really do like it when they put their efforts towards something a little bit more focused, like their Bulletstorm mod, their Quake 4 weapons mod, and, well, the recent Doom 4 Doom mod. When they have something to focus on, like a clear design direction with a set limit of, okay, we can't do this, then that's when they really shine. And it's really strange because they have this incredible ability to do a whole lot, but the work is best when it's something small.
I say with DB Thanatos and other peeps, I don't know everybody's name off the top of my head, but I would like to see them do something original, like something that's not derivative off of like another game, which is, I mean, their work with Doom for Doom and then, you know, all that other fun stuff. I mean, it's been incredible, and I mean, it's been fun to play for sure, but it's like, I don't know, just like, you guys got the talent, you guys got the stuff, so maybe make like an original thing, that'd be cool. But that's definitely not to discredit, you know, their current work at all or anything like that, because I think it's hella cool. But it's, you know, just especially with the super hella ZScript undertaking, like, sure to break some kind of new ground, and you know, you're gonna get new people coming in just like, how do I ZScript, like what is that, and you know, look to Aeons of Death of all places for their first watch.
Here, this dog's breakfast will be your documentation.
I mean, my only remaining question is, well, it's like Voltaire said way back when, if Aeons of Death didn't exist, would it be necessary to create it?
Honestly, I think yes. I think Aeons of Death is probably the perfect demonstration of the natural pros and cons that come with any sort of randomizer wad and massive, huge undertaking. It is the randomizer wad to end all randomizer mods, and if it weren't for that, I think people would still be prodding at it for a lot longer, perhaps even today, still trying to outdo each other. But there is no way to outdo Aeons of Death. You simply can't. There is no way.
Well, checkmate atheists.
And so, because of that, people start looking at other avenues, because the nature of the creator is that of experimentation and trying to figure out new things. But this does bring up a question about Aeons of Death itself. Let me pose a hypothetical question for you guys. I want to hear your input.
Yes.
We hear a lot of criticism from quote-unquote modern shooters about weapon carry limits, like 2 weapon limits, 3 weapon limits, that sort of obnoxious nonsense. But then we go back to the old games, like Aeons of Death, that gives us 200 weapons. So, which is worse? A 2 weapon carry limit, or too many weapons that make each other redundant?
I think the answer to this question is like a shrug, but like a really inquisitive shrug. Because honestly, I think the worst one is a weapon carry limit for a game that's not designed for it, or vice versa. Like where you're like, this really just don't need 17 guns right now. I could really use a solid 2. I mean, it really depends. The game like Doom, do you need like 23 weapons at any time? Like, I really need these 3 variations of this revolver. one with a scope, and it's a separate weapon, so it's not the same one as the one without a scope, but the scoped one, it just fires a shotgun blast because it's dehacked. I mean, it really depends. I think from the outside, I'd prefer like a more curated arsenal that where, you know, care was put into it, because I feel like eventually you're just going to get like the, you know, you're pressing the number 3 on your keyboard and you're cycling through the single shotgun, the double shotgun, this like 2 double shotguns, the quad shotgun. It's like, I'm just going to just use whatever is fine. Maybe just make a whole arsenal that's fun, then, you know, that's what, like 7-8 weapons max? I don't know.
I mean, not that we're seriously about to, you know, judge Aeons of Death again on its playability, because I realize that the nature of the question is supposed to be, you know, more meta than that. But
yeah,
you need immediacy when you click on a button. You know, the button needs to be assigned to a certain school of weapon that responds well to how the monsters are behaving. And so that's the beauty of something which is like the stock weapons in Doom. When you hit four, you know you're going to you're getting a pain locking gun in a chain gun or something like that. So and so when you have all these weapons, they don't all precisely fill that function. You find, well, you need to put them on somewhere. I only have so many keys. They need to go on, what am I going to put on, 8, 0, 1, and it doesn't always match up with that immediate need to respond to the monster in a certain way.
I think ultimately the worst, like you said, what's worse, a 2-weapon limit or no weapon limit? I think the worst one is a 1-weapon limit. We've almost off that for a while, so fuck me, right?
Not a fan of devil daggers, huh?
I disagree. I think if you just I was toying with the idea of a pinball mod in which monsters just fling pinballs at you and your only weapon is just to swing your arms and bat straight back.
That would be cool.
We're judging. We want to see that through. Finish it.
You have my attention.
Flap your arms.
You have my attention.
So, Kenzie, just to make sure, we are still going through with that idea of every single different iteration of the shotgun for Metagadoom, right?
Oh, of course.
I just think that really, like, within the context of Doom per se, I mean, not that I mean besides whatchamacallit, that Call of Duty mod that I can't think of right now, but I really
Real Guns
should
Advance
know.
2.
Yeah, there hasn't really been like a 2-gun limit in Doom ever. I can't think of one anyway immediately, but I guess in the genre as a whole, I think it really you can feel when a game's meant for it, and you're like, all right. I think just like as a bullet point list thing, I mean, having a wide variety of weapons at your disposal with unique functions is always more appealing than you get to carry a small gun and a big gun, and it's up to you, but you're probably going to be using what we're going to give you. I just like the creativity to approach a situation, however, and I don't really feel like a 2-gun limit does it most of the time, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Walk softly and carry 2 big sticks. I'd buy it.
Can we carry a third though, or would that be unrealistic?
That would be left for HDM, I think.
In the context of Doom, I have to say, yeah, I agree with Marty in that. If the design of a game or its mechanics cater to it, having things like swappable weapons and more options is never a bad thing. But this is a but. It depends on how many options there are available. Because having a ton of options, well, I mean, yeah, it's great, but having to carry every single one, that's not great.
So this is a fun callback. Turok 2, for example, has a crap ton of weapons. There's like 20-ish weapons in the game.
Wow.
And they all do something unique. Like, there's very little overlap. Even your 2 quote-unquote shotgun weapons are like completely different in design. You get your normal spread, and then you got your crazy thing that spreads after the initial impact and bounces around and all that crazy stuff. So even though you have a ton of weapons, it doesn't feel like a huge overload because they all do something different. So in my mind, it's not even so much the how many are there factor, it's the similarity factor. Because once you get a certain number of archetypes filled in, you're going to run out of new things you can add before it starts feeling samey. So of course, on one spectrum, you have things like Aeons of Death, which have like 2,000 things that are identical in your face. And, you know, lots of modern shooters do this as well, because how many assault rifles can you possibly put in a game without your player feeling overwhelmed? And, you know, you remedy that by having the player swap it out. And for games like that, it makes sense. It's a model that fits. And to me, what's kind of interesting, just as an oddball counterexample, is when you cross your wires wrong and have games that have unique weapons and a weapon limit. Mm. To me, this just universally makes the game worse. The two that come to mind immediately, Bioshock Infinite, which is a fun comparison considering the earlier games of the series did not have a weapon limit. In my mind, that was a strict downgrade from the previous games in several ways. I can rant on that later. And Bulletstorm. Bulletstorm comes to mind because it has these very unique oddball weapons, your quad-barrel shotgun, your drill launcher, your like firecracker shooting revolver, all sorts of really cool weapons, but you can only like carry a certain number with you at a time, which is really weird considering the entire point of the game is you're supposed to weave in and out and shoot guys and do cool skill combos and blast people. It doesn't make any sense in a game like that to suddenly limit the selection and limit the number of things that you can do. So that is sort of a big design misstep they had in making that game. And, you know, it's because they wanted it for consoles, even though, you know, weapon wheel, I guess, would be the ideal solution for that. So if we're going to point out, at least in my mind, one good don't do that, that a lot of games will fall into, it's when you accidentally bring in weapon swapping to solve the wrong problem. Like, if you have purely unique weapons, great. You don't need to switch between them. If you're Call of Duty, sure, because there's only so many different types of assault rifles you can hold in your hand before you get bored. So, I don't know. That's my opinion on that front, but that's just kind of a point to throw in the ether.
Yeah. I'll high five to that.
Mm-hmm. All right, and here is a very, very niche subject that we will probably very vaguely gloss over, but split screen has long been attempted several times in Doom's modding / source port history, which is kind of strange because, you know, the average Doom player tends to be either completely alone or can set up a LAN. And yet, work on split screen ZDoom is being attempted with the, well, I mean, appropriately named SSZDoom. It's ZDoom with split screen, so two people can play on one single computer.
Cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure there's a certain niche for that, as there is for everything. And I'm definitely never going to stop someone from doing something that they find cool or they might have a use for. I think, I mean, me personally, I've never been like, man, I really wish I could just split screen a ZDoom sesh with my bros right now and just, you know, just, I don't know. But I get the appeal. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool if, you know, hey, if it works and cool stuff happens, you know, whatever, that's cool. I'll high five.
It doesn't seem like there's a call for it, is there? I mean, it's more of a because we can sort of thing.
Maybe. I mean, I've seen uses for it at, like, LAN parties and the such. I actually go to one every year where a friend of mine brings a CRT and he actually sets it up exactly for that purpose, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, it's interesting. We happen to both know the one person on Earth who, like, fits exactly this niche. He knows the setup for it. So I guess what that means is that this topic, we can get back to you after August when we go to QuakeCon and try this out for real.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to.
Yeah, revisit this in a later episode because we'll have some firsthand experience. If not, then shoot me.
QuakeCon, you say?
Yes, ooh. Actually, if anyone is interested in that, the tickets go on sale on the 13th.
Oh, son of a bitch, we got to go through the circus again.
An idea that's been kicked around, I know Doom will delete. Obviously, I don't look anywhere else, do I? Let's be honest.
Hey, Alfonso, how's things going on Zandronum?
I do actually have an account there. I think I've made 5 posts across the last 5 years. So, mostly to do with my own project, of course. There's Joe Pillai, who some of the Nikos will know if they like the level design history, has been involved. I think he was a part of 2002 Doom Odyssey. He recently suggested a convention for all our wadsters to get together, and it's been brought up in the past quite a bit, and it's always been shot down because the logistics of it probably are too difficult to realize. And but I think, yeah, these days you could probably make an argument that it's justifiable, it's worth doing. I mean, the obviousness of the history with Doom and its community continuing to build as we move forward, it feels right now more than ever that we, you know, if we can have organized some sort of gathering of minds, even if it's just a small one somewhere annually. So I'm wondering if you guys think that's an idea that we could potentially get behind.
Man, this is going to sound, I don't know exactly how to put this. I'm like, can we make it so, like, only cool people are allowed there, though? But I think it also, like, the more broad thing, too, is that, man, the Doom community is so varied in interest and range and stuff, which is really cool. Just thinking about, like, it's a whole gathering of peeps from, like, everywhere. You just, like, Man, that'd be crazy. I think it's cool. I'd be down for it. Definitely going to be some weirdos. Be cool. Cool to interact with the weirdos.
I mean, imagine conducting this discussion live in front of an audience. I think that'd be great. I mean, with our panel of six people, it'd probably be equal to the number of actual people in the audience. But I mean, we'll just have to take that on the chin.
It is something to consider down the line, but I do want to issue a word of warning because there is another community that is at least 3 to 4 times the size of the Doom community, and they tried their own specific unique con as well.
God damn it.
Ouch.
And, well, let's just say it was the pits. The ball pits.
Nice.
I knew it.
I'm so glad that was brought up.
I was like, is he talking about the ball pits? Yes, he's talking about the ball pits.
Ball. Yeah, well, bang goes that application.
Yeah, the thing with this sort of thing is that they almost certainly have to piggyback off of some other larger convention, like QuakeCon or PAX or whatever. And a lot of people in the community are sort of geographically isolated, so it's something that not a lot of people would be able to attend because they're off in Australia or wherever.
Poor Jimmy.
So, I do want to point out.
So that, like, I guess I'm looking forward to hearing about Sergeant Mark appearing at the Republican National Convention in a few years.
As a serious kind of point to throw in that pile, I love QuakeCon. It's fantastic. I have a blast every year I go. It would also be extremely hard for me to go if it was not in Dallas. Like, I happen to live in the city where it's hosted. Cool. If it wasn't for that, like, I hear all the time of people in, like, the chiptune community I tend to frequent having get-togethers in places like Germany and other stuff. And I'm like, that's freaking awesome. Also, you guys have fun. I can't attend. It's extremely difficult for certain people to schedule travel plans or make it happen, money, this and that, all the other bits and pieces. So the logistics on an individual level are extremely high on top of everything else.
The solution seems obvious then. We just need to make a traveling van that tours the country.
This is
right. Like a kebab stand. Let's have a pop-out convention. It'd be great. But I also understand that typically whenever small communities, I mean, ours isn't small, but relatively speaking of the sorts of conventions that you might see, ours certainly would be. You get a lot of convention goers who, I mean, there's a big culture surrounding it, so I guess you call them con crashers. I don't know what they're called, but there'd probably be more people there who are just accustomed with visiting conventions than there are actual Doom-minded folk.
Yeah, it's a really odd thing to think about. I think conceptually it's going to be, like, it's a cool idea for sure, but yeah, just like Zazer was saying, I think QuakeCon was brought up. I was like, oh, I could totally go just because of also my proximity to Dallas as well. Like, but you know, like with Doom being, you know, the community being spread far and wide, it's like be hella fun to try to get everybody, you know, get, you know, a sizable amount of people into one spot for however long the duration of the hypothetical con would be.
Well, I'm looking forward to Doom Mod Con being held in international waters.
Sealant.
Can we encourage Toasty-san and Kura-san to go there?
Oh, absolutely.
It's hosted in Japan, then nobody can go.
Now, speaking of QuakeCon, we're going to be shifting subjects a little bit towards a game that is almost guaranteed to be appearing there this year. Quake Champions recently entered closed beta, Quake Champions being the most recent iteration in the Quake franchise, a pseudo free-to-play hero shooter type game. And we can't talk about things that are currently going on in-game, thanks to the NDA, of course, but thankfully...
Are you going to start trying to bleep things again? Because we know how well that worked last time.
Look, all I'm just going to say is... There's a nail gun and a shotgun.
Fail gun.
It's like, can I even say how many of each there are?
Dude,
or imply
dude,
that there's
spoilers.
More than one?
Atlas is going to ban you really quickly.
Wait, nail gun in the... do you peel it back like a banana? How does that work?
It's like... What do we hope for in this game?
Well, I can we say who's like in the current beta? Is that against the NDA? I should probably read that shit.
We should probably say who actually has an NDA against them. In which case, both Marty and myself.
Right.
So we can't talk, you guys can.
Right, yeah. But it's like, even with the NDA and knowing what's in the game so far, like, complete pipe dream mode, what do you think would be really, really cool for this game? Like, should it be similar to Quake 3 Arena? Should it be its own thing? Should it be a Quake 1 single player expansion campaign? Actually, yeah, I'd like to see a Quake 1 single player.
Yeah, it's like, you mentioned complete pipe dream, single player. Let's list all the things that are absolutely not going to be in the game, single player. That's what I want.
Just get a gauntlet and run around dying, get the same experience.
May as well. You know, okay, so it's hard to say, because what's really weird is that there's a part of me that wants to say, I would really like it to be a lot like Quake 3, why don't I just play Quake 3, jeez?
Well, because it's Quake Live now.
I don't know.
There's nothing stopping you guys. So, well, I mean, matches still do go on live, and as far as I know, they still go on 3 as well.
Well, it's just a certain level of classicness is all I can really kind of hope for. You know, good movement, actual weapon placement in the maps, no loadout-y things. Hopefully the class thing doesn't like completely turn the game into pseudo Overwatch, which it didn't seem like it was from the super early previews that I'm not supposed to discuss. But you know, you never know.
This you is really sign interesting. An NDA at QuakeCon, in which
I absolutely did
say.
Not. Yeah,
and which I can say based off what I saw at the QuakeCon reveal last year, the movement does look super good. A lot of it is very much Quake to its core.
Yeah, I'm not doom and gloom about it. That was not even remotely supposed to be a pun.
I think without saying my current experience in it, pipe dream stuff. I just happened to recently learn that it was going to be like a free to play ish thing. So I'm pretty sure there's articles and stuff about that, because I remember bringing it up and Wartorn was like, yeah, dude, you didn't know? So I was like, I didn't. I like the aspect of a game that's going to be constantly evolving. I guess normally, you know, when you put like a game out, well, okay. Used to be you put a game out and you're like, that's it, there's the game. You know, nowadays, of course, you get your DLC pockets, your nice season pass, the Six Flags Over Texas, all that fun stuff. But, like, you know, I like the aspect of an id Software game, quote, I don't know, I didn't really dig that deep into it. I saw their name somewhere, maybe, hypothetically, I don't know. When I first, at least, you know, when Quake Live was being a thing, I really liked where I, you know, was first birthed into the ether. I really liked the aspect of a game that was going to be, like, continually, like, hey, like, here's some new maps this week, and here's a new thing. So I like the vague idea that that's what Quake Champions could be. And I hope, you know, like, hey, cool, I have some cool characters in there. Apart from the people that are already in there that I can't tell you about.
I know very little about the... I'm not sure even what the genre is called. Is it arena shooter? Is that right?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'm the current climate surrounding that, because the only... Really, outside of Doom, I don't play many modern games, but I'm sort of vaguely familiar with StarCraft II, the RTS scene, that sort of thing, and the complaints around that have been... it's not very accessible to new players, it's really fast-paced, and so it's quite alienating, ostracizing in that way. And I, without looking into it too much, I seem to get a similar impression with this genre and in arena shooters, and I'm wondering, again, is there a risk as a new player coming in that I'm going to be shut out with Quake Champions in the same way that lots of new people are for something like StarCraft 2?
Well, with Quake Live, which this game is effectively based off of, they introduce things like respawn timers at power-up spawn points and holding down space to sort of semi-automate bunny hopping and that. These little conveniences that take some of the annoying bits out of advanced techniques. But there's still, of course, the issue that you will be instantly killed over and over by hyperactive Germans who have been playing for like 3 decades.
I think the, just like Alfonso was saying, I think the, like, the appeal for a, shooters are hard, man. Like, just like, especially, you know, looking at, you know, the evolution or the sequel to Quake 3, like, you know, that game, you know, like a game like Super Smash Bros. Melee with a super high ceiling and people know all these stuff, and Quake Live was really good at giving like those conveniences and stuff like that. I just feel like it's pretty much guaranteed with any game, as long as it's, you know, going to keep, you know, being updated after it's released, and, you know, however long the longevity is going to be, you know, with Quake Champions or Shrugs, it's eventually just going to become like, you know, here's your Quake Champions, people. And yeah, I tried to play, but I just like got online and got shot, and there's a bunch of shit going on, and got Quake Rubies. I don't know what the fuck's happening. Quake Rubies. I feel like I should really have read more up on the game so I can know what I can make fun of. I feel like my jokes are being blocked by an NDA.
Okay, well, here's a slight sideways step of the subject then. Whenever people think of Quake, there's always just one thing that comes to mind. Quake multiplayer, Quake world, Quake 3 arena. You have taken the lead. Quad damage. Humiliation. But it's like, where is the Quake single player?
So, the question we have to ask, though, what even is Quake single player? Like, okay, so everybody, you know, in our Doom community is most attached to Quake 1. That's the one we all know and love. But when you consider the single player Quakes 1, 2, and 4, they're all totally different games. Like, 4 is basically Doom 3 again, in a way. And
it is. It's such an outlier. It's really, really strange.
Yeah, but when you actually consider the three games, even playing 1 and 2 back-to-back, and how much the pacing and everything changes, it's kind of difficult between that and the theme shifts and even the genre changes between single and multiplayer. What the hell even is Quake? It's weird.
I can answer that. It's the Quake 3 bot matches.
Okay, there you go. Maybe that's the question we should ask. Is Quake Champions going to have bots? Yes, problem solved.
The thing with Quake's history has been very, very weird. After Romero and Peterson left, there was nobody there to push like the Cthulhu-style world that they had developed for Quake 1. So they wanted to do something new. And they were developing this game that was codenamed Quake 2 because it used a modified version of the engine. And they kept coming up with all these different names for it, and they were all shithouse. So they ended up just calling it Quake 2 anyway.
And even the history behind Quake 1 itself is a little mixed up, isn't it, Kinsey?
Oh, man, that game just went through development hell. It's like it started life during... The first plans for Quake were during the Commander Keen days, and was basically going to be id Do Ultima. And once Doom became successful, they started building up the new tech to do like this medieval fantasy game sort of thing, and... That it just basically fell apart during the making of that game. People were making tons of maps that they had to like redo and throw out, and that as the engine was being built, and in the end they just got burned out and built a Doom clone. It was a good Doom clone, but it was a Doom clone.
I think the most more so than, you know, when Doom 4 was being hyped and that were leading up to the release of, you know, Doom 4, Doom 2016, however you want to call it.
Deform.
Deform. Yeah. I think there was a lot of, like, you know, what is Doom? Because you have a kind of a pretty good idea of what a Doom game should be, or, you know, what some core elements in that are, and I think... Within the scope of Doom, you have like I'm going to make a new Doom game. Well, here's some cornerstones. But with Quake, you have potentially like, what, 3 different games you can branch off of. So when I'm like, I really like Quake, you could be thinking Quake 3. I might be thinking Quake 1. Like, so it's really crazy. Like, they basically have these 3 franchises built within one, but they're not really connected all that much. I mean, really tenaciously, I guess, with Quake 3, but, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy, crazy. I don't think there will probably be another, like, single-player, like, Quake game, really. I don't know. I just don't see it happening, just because I feel like what most people think of as Quake, or, like, the general kind of audience, they probably think more of Quake 3 Arena.
Right.
More than, you know, Quake 2 or Quake 1, and I don't know. I think if there's going to be any kind of continuation of Quake on a single-player basis, it'll probably be more with, like, the Quake 2, Quake 4 style, you know, that kind of thing, and I don't think that's really going to go anywhere.
I'm not entirely in agreement with that, Marty, because, like, yes, Quake 3 is the most dominant part of the series because of the whole multiplayer grabbing the zeitgeist thing, but over the years I've noticed that with the new id, which is a weird thing to think about, there seems to be more of a nostalgia for the original Quake, both at id and at sister studios like Machine Games.
Right.
And they also seem to be really fucking sick and tired of the goddamn Strog.
I am.
Like,
yeah.
I don't even think there's like a reference to the Strog in Quake Champions yet.
I couldn't even say if there was. No, I agree. I think it's kind of hard to say. Yeah, because with, you know, the new id, so to speak, I think, you know, anything is really possible. But, you know, just kind of based on things that are going on now, it's really hard to envision, like, it's Quake 1 again. Here's the Quake 1 Part 2. It's Quake 2. Shit. Quake again. You never know. I don't know. Anything's really... They really can kind of throw that up in the air, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, really, the biggest question I'd have to answer for that sort of thing is, like, how do you separate a Quake 1 reboot from Doom 2016?
Ooh.
Because Doom and Quake 1 shared a lot of the same sort of beats.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make those distinct without losing the Quake 1 flavor? And I think that would be a really interesting challenge for a studio, not necessarily id, to face.
Actually, that could be a really, really simple way for new id to sort of differentiate between the two. Let's say Quake is for multiplayer, Doom is for single player, and the new Doom has a sort of side campaign or co-op campaign where you can play as Doom Guy and Ranger side by side, or you're fighting Cthulhu alongside Satan.
Well, I'm looking forward to Doom 2 Rangers World Tour, and I've already made this joke, haven't I?
But it's just as delicious as it was the first
time. No, they'd call it Quake Heroes, since they already made Quake Champions.
Oh!
When the Doom sequel comes out, would it be called Doom 2 as well?
Dude, oh Jesus Christ.
Or are we on finally, Doom 5?
No, I think we're on subtitles, is what we are.
Doom 2016, too.
Yeah.
Roll out the columns.
The Doom.
The Doom.
Okay, can we, like, how much do you think it would take to hire somebody to lobby to id to name the next game Doom Repercussions of Evil? Can we make this happen?
I think on a very realistic scale... we could probably definitely get an achievement named after it, for sure, but...
And it took out the plasma gun and blew up the franchise.
Well, I mean, in Doom 4, there's already a reference to BZ Plasma, a Doom streamer of all things. It's, like, it's incredible. The new id has really been in touch with the fan base. It's incredible. I mean, legally, they're
Doom comic, anybody?
Yeah. Legally, they're probably not allowed to pop out and say, hey guys, we're watching, but yeah, it's clear they're very in touch with the community, following things and seeing what the fans like, what the fans want, and that's really cool for a studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've talked about this a bit, like, Doom 2016 is the first game that id has released during, like, the streaming Twitch generation sort of thing. So they've been watching... When the game came out, they basically spent a week just watching people play the game, seeing how they reacted to things.
Mm-hmm. There is nothing better as a creator than watching someone else play your work.
And realize how much it's shit.
Well, maybe for you.
Meekins, you're on the same wavelength there. It's like, yeah, just cringing internally, just, ooh, oh, I should have made a change. Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's not a nice thing to say about my mother.
But I can echo that sentiment where the developers of the new Doom have been super enthusiastic. I met a few of the developers actually last year at QuakeCon, attending one of their panels. And I think the one developer that really stuck out to me was Billy Kane, the engine engineer at id. And he was just super enthusiastic to be talking about all the technical work that he's done in it. It was like, oh my god, this guy is infectious.
It's really interesting to see how, especially when the concept of like a Doom 4, like, new id, Doom 4, this is gonna be bad. You know, and then, you know, you're reading up on all like the interviews with, you know, various people involved, and they're all saying, you know, they're really excited. And then now that the final product's out, you can tell that it was really fucking genuine. Like, yeah, we're working on a Doom game, guys. Like, it's like, damn, that's cool. That's like the best way that could have turned out.
Yeah, that Doom 4 really defied expectations in a positive way. For once.
Yeah.
Oh, Bethesda did the absolute worst possible marketing job. I don't think there's even people playing multiplayer anymore, and Bethesda pushed that like the third coming of Carmack.
Yeah, it was the first beta alpha. It was multiplayer. So, yeah, I mean, but I think, I don't know, I think with something like, you know, unfortunately, it was something, you know, when you're marketing something, you're trying to reach out to the people who are going to buy your games, all about the shooting the other peoples in the multiplayer, which definitely, as you know, is evidenced by probably invisible, like non-existent servers in Doom 4, you know, is not the game's strong suit. And I have a feeling that they'll probably, I don't know, take that to heart and maybe shift their multiplayer hard-on over to Quake Champions, a game which I cannot talk about.
I know we've, game developers, as soon as a game drops, they talk about it in a post-mortem style, which is more of a formality, I guess. But do we feel like, because a game's success these days is largely down to whether or not it survives in the public domain, still being talked about when the next title hits, as we know that's going to happen with Doom 4, parenthesis, 2016. But at least looking on, hey, presto, Doomworld, again, and the forum that we have there, and it used to be quite vibrant. I think we're down to like one post a day, maybe less than that. And the only questions that seem to crop up are, you know, what can we expect of Doom 2? Do we feel like we've entered that post-mortem phase, like the game has already seen its heyday? And now it's just all eyes look to Doom 2, its sequel.
I feel like we're like in the middle, like a nice, firm, like transitioning period where like that game is really good. Like, you know, it's anytime I feel like Doom 4 is being brought up, it's like, because it's fucking great. But it's not quite like, I can't wait for the next one. It's like implied, but it's not quite there. Like, wonder what they're going to do for the sequel. I, at least from my personal experience, it feels like, you know, the hearts and minds are still on it at the moment, haven't quite drifted away. I feel like it'll probably come pretty soon. I think probably once Quake Champions rolls out and does like an open beta or something, maybe people will be like, can't wait to see, you know, what are they gonna do now?
I definitely agree with you, Marty, in that I have confidence in the sequel, just seeing, as you mentioned, how committed those people on the team really are. And so that sells it for me.
There's also that another thing that keeps a game active is that you can only play through the single player campaign so many times. And one of the things that really helps a game live on is its modding capabilities. And let's not beat around the bush. SnapMap, not ideal.
I think, and I'm pretty sure everyone's going to have differing opinions. I just think that ideally, you want to have like open capabilities for mods and stuff, and I understand that SnapMap was a compromise in order to like appeal to, you know, people in this very podcast, you know, like, I want to be able to mod, and having that, there being an active, you know, modding community for Doom 4. But I understand that with a game, you know, that very recent game, you know, really feasibly like opening the engine up like that and stuff like that could pose issues and all sorts of other stuff, and like, who's really gonna use it, like, is it worth it? And you know, I think from what I remember various developers kind of talking about, like, a, you know, stuff like that costs money too, you know, to release modding tools. And, you know, a lot of that, from what I remember, things like Saints Row 4, when they started to open up, you know, the modding capabilities of that game, you know, there was basically a lot of people working without pay to make modding tools available. So I don't know. Ideally, yeah, in the future, that'd be cool, but I don't know if it's really feasible. And SnapMap might just, you know, just continually evolve and be something cool in the next one, who knows?
SnapMap was sort of like, not only was it like, let's make custom levels to this game feasible for people who don't have, like, supercomputer, like, render farms or whatever, it was also because, well... So when you make mod tools for a modern video game, there's a bunch of challenges that have to be dealt with, like untangling your tools from your internal networks and version control repositories, and making sure you don't ship out bits of, like, expensive middleware that the creators don't want out in the public, and writing documentation, which is something I've probably railed about on this very podcast before. And all those things cost time and money that, for better or worse, many publishers and studios believe would be better put onto patches or additional content.
Right.
And there would also be the issue with Doom 2016 in particular. I know they talked about this during one of the QuakeCon panels, but, like, custom levels for that game, like real custom levels, would probably be about a 2 gig download minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Due to the mega texture stuff. And not a lot of people will be willing to download 2 gigs of data, especially if some of the data caps in some parts of the world, to play, like, My House Dot What.
the Doom 2016 version of 94 WAD. That'd be great.
One thing that I do want to point out is that it took over 10 years for GZ Doom Builder to reach the point where it is now. And as much shit as we give Doom 4, it is very... I don't want to say unreasonable, but the way that they got SnapMap out in and of itself is a miracle. And I guess the biggest question of Doom 4 modding in the future is whether people are going to want to stick with it and make their own versions of cool tools. And more importantly, if it is going to want to release the source code so people can mess around with it. And that's a very big question mark, considering... Bethesda is not exactly generous.
Well, history seems to suggest that even if they did, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily give the defibrillatory shock to the modding community that we might anticipate. I mean, Doom 3 Phobos is still hanging in the wings and has been for like 12 years at this point.
I don't think it's entirely fair to say that Bethesda is completely against, like, source code releases. They did a Doom 3 BFG and Arx Fatalis, if you remember that.
That's right, my mistake.
But id Tech 5 is internal Bethesda only, and I don't think they're even, like, giving id Tech 6 out to other studios. I think that was just, like, a Doom-specific version of the engine that, and instead they're just going to share their, like, tricks and secrets with other Bethesda studios as when they ask. It's a weird situation, but basically id's time, like, licensing engines out and being the forefront of technology in PC games, in selling that technology to other studios like Raven and stuff like that, that is effectively over. And companies like Epic with Unreal and Unity and so on have taken over for better or worse. Typically for worse in certain situations. Fucking Unreal Editor.
Ooh.
Let us ship the editor instead of having to download it from you.
I mean, just like really quickly build off of what Kenzie was saying earlier too, I think feasibly people that are probably going to be able or have the ability to make maps for Doom 4, at least right, let's just say within the time period, you know, like within the, you know, from its release to a year out, probably are more qualified to have an industry job, you know, than most of us here. So I get it, and I think you know, with the next iteration, whatever Doom 2 Part 2 Chapter 2, whatever they come out with next, probably see more of a like expansion snap map, because I feel like they put a lot of effort into that, and hopefully, you know, it'll be cool.
Yeah, snap map is definitely going to be in whatever the next Doom game is, because Bethesda actually bought the studios that they outsourced snap map to. So that's definitely going to be an ingredient in the next game.
Interesting.
Just in closing, for me on snap map, I haven't actually experimented with it at all, partly because I haven't played Doom 4 at all. But just to philosophize, because I was interested when I discovered that the only 12 monsters at a time limit, and this is going to sound incredibly naive because it's Doom and not Doom 4, but you know, experience in the community with working within limitations to create creativity, I'd hoped that would lead to some interesting things, but it's different in Doom, of course, because the AI of the monsters and their functionality is so singular, right? Whereas Doom 4's monsters operate better just without a sort of contextualized space. So the level design isn't as important, because fighting them, as long as you have a gun in hand, is fun in and of itself. So in Doom, you can have a limitation on monsters or something, but you can provide the level design that makes for an interesting encounter, whereas you don't really have, it doesn't seem to me, bearing in mind, again, that I haven't used Snapback, that you have that luxury, especially with the prefabs that you have on offer. So it looks like there's very limited longevity for that reason, to me at least.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is it's really odd. I mean, I've played a lot of snap maps, and sometimes I'll feel that like that monster limit, and I'll be like, I see it, you're the ceiling, there it is, we're touching it right now. And I think you know, with I don't know if it's necessarily something that like kneecap snap map at all. I think on a surface level, you're like, oh, that sucks. But I mean, you know, playing a lot of snap maps, I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, with the gameplay of Doom 4, I get it. And, you know, it's not normally really like a huge issue. I feel like, and this is kind of, I guess, to touch on earlier, where, you know, talking about like the failed multiplayer aspect of Doom 4, I feel like with snap map, you had co-op in there. And I feel like if there's going to be any sort of multiplayer emphasis in Doom, in the Doom franchise in the future for the hypothetical Chapter 2 Part 2 sequel, I definitely think they're probably going to put more emphasis on, you know, things like co-op and stuff like that. Things that really benefit the Doom gameplay without being, you know, crossing over into that Quake territory. And I think, you know, with snap map, it seems like they were kind of experimenting with that a little bit, but, you know, I don't know.
Doom 4 was trying to cover a whole lot of niches at once, because when you're trying to follow up to one of the most influential games in history, one that has impacted single player front, has impacted the modding front, has jump-started the multiplayer front, there's that sort of pressure to live up to it and try and spread yourself out to cover all of them at once. And I think probably that's one of the things that ended up hampering Doom 4 a bit, because nobody within reason is going to deny that the single player has been absolutely incredible. But at the same time, you have to wonder how much more had there been if they kicked out the multiplayer and focused more on that, and maybe diverted less funds from SnapMap to that as well.
It's kind of really hard to say. I don't know. I feel like I really don't know the timeline of development as far as Quake Champions and Doom. I feel for some reason some part of me thinks that they were at some point probably being developed at the same time, at least conceptually. At least the impression I got from Doom's multiplayer, while it was still alive, RIP, is that it felt like it was trying to dip its toes into the Quake pond a little bit, as far as like trying to, I guess, do stuff like that, and maybe sort of experimentation to make some, like, hey, this is going to be the next big multiplayer thing. And I don't think it definitely didn't hit the mark, and that's pretty universally agreed for sure. But I feel like it had to at least give it a shot. I mean, ideally now, you know, the game's out, you can go back and say, like, really wish they would have put more into this or diverted the resources or... but I think with basically kind of like a relaunch or reboot of the franchise for a more general audience, I think they had to at least give it a shot and see if it will stick. Granted, you know, it definitely slid down the wall and left a nice slimy grease trail and walls ruined forever. But, hey, got to give credit where it's due. At least they tried. Definitely tried.
I just want to point out that... we have been going on now for about an hour and a half.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way we are going to do our usual what have you been playing, what have you been working on little discussions. So, perhaps it's for the better this time. Actually, I am curious what the audience thinks. Do y'all like this purely discussion on news, reaction, our own opinions on events? Or are y'all interested in what we've been playing and what have you been working on as well?
Boring. Needs more eugenics. Come on. Shovel them in.
Well, that being said, I think it is probably good to cut it off here. And next time we will start going... Well, we'll see how the feedback goes. We'll see how it goes. Thank you all very much for coming along. We certainly had a very full house tonight, but it was interesting hearing everybody talk.
No problem. How about a permanent invite next time, asshole?
Yeah, you've got about 2 minutes until it expires, don't you?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
User in your channel was banned from
the
server.
Oh, there he goes.
Oh, that's fucked.
Oh, there he goes.
Wow. Man. Rest in peace. Is that our second podcast now? I've been witness to two already. I don't know if I want to continue being on here.
Thank you all very much for coming along. It has been fun.
Yep.
And with that,
have a game.
I will see you all next time.
Bye.
Later, mates.
Look both ways before you cross the road. Don't talk to strangers. I'm not your real dad.
I fucking knew it.